Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad that you're with us today. And I want to thank the many of you who are faithful, regular listeners. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're so glad to have you. And we've reached, I think, 5,000 listeners. I think that's right. So just to Live with Lon, not to the radio program or anything, just to Live with Lon. That's wonderful. So tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and hopefully we can welcome more and more people to Live with Lon. Now, as you know, what do we study at Live with Lon? We study the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, and then we apply it to our life. And we're studying, we're in the New Testament, we use the New King James Version. And in the Old Testament, for the most part, I use the New American Standard Version. So, we're going to continue that today. And as you know, we're in the Gospels, approaching the end of the Gospels. And we're just about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane with the Lord. We're just finishing up the Last Supper. But as we finish the Last Supper, there are four chapters in the book of John, 14, 15, 16, and 17, that aren't in the other Gospels, that happen right at the end of the Last Supper and just before the group of disciples with the Lord Jesus head across the Kidron Valley and into the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you've ever been to Israel with me, you know that's a very short distance. Easily walking distance. It's hardly anything. I don't even know if it's more than a mile or so. If it's that much. So this walk is about to happen. But before it does, we have four chapters of extra punch and spiritual dynamic for us in the Gospel of John. And these are amazing chapters. So we're going to do them beginning today. And then we're going to come back and we'll reunite all four Gospels for the Garden of Gethsemane, the betrayal, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. So, you with me? All right, here we go. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your time, the time you're giving us in the Word today. Help us, Lord, to be able to take it and apply it to our lives. Use it today to bring great hope and great encouragement to our hearts and our lives as followers of Christ. And Lord, take this Holy Spirit and apply him to our hearts that we might really be able to grasp and understand the spiritual truth of today, and that we might be able to appropriate it to our life. We pray for Israel. We pray for your will to be done there, Lord, and peace to be restored and calm as soon as your will is accomplished. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, what? Amen and amen. And Lord, we pray for those who've lost loved ones in the conflict over there in the Middle East. Please comfort their hearts, Lord Jesus, I pray. In your name, amen. Okay, and now, let's study the Word. Okay, so I said to you that these four chapters, John 14, 15, 16, 17, happen right before going to the Garden of Gethsemane, and I want you to look with me, verse 18, verse 1, as soon as Jesus is finished with his high priestly prayer. Chapter 18, verse 1 of John's Gospel. And when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the Kishon Brook, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered, and that, of course, was the Garden of Gethsemane. So, back to chapter 14, the Last Supper is ending, the Garden of Gethsemane is imminently approaching, and that's where these four chapters fit. Now, verse 1, chapter 14. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let's stop there. Let not your heart be troubled. What great words. Jesus says, hey, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Fear not. And I've told you before that phrase, fear not, or don't be afraid, is the most commonly used phrase in the Bible of God speaking to you and me as his followers. The thing he tells us most often of anything else is don't be afraid. Fear not. Why? For I am with you. Fear not, for I am with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Why not? For thou art with me. And here Jesus says it again. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, dwelling places. I love mansions because that's the way I memorized it in the old King James. There are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus says, if there weren't many dwelling places, mansions there awaiting you, I would have told you. But there are, and I go to heaven to prepare a place for you. And if I go, verse 3, first class condition in Greek, could be just as well translated, and since I go, because it assumes that the conditional clause, the if or the since clause, is actually true. So not just if, but since I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now we're going to stop there because those verses are so powerful. And many of us know those verses by heart. But I want us to talk about the spiritual impact that the Lord wants these verses to make on our life. He wants the result of these verses to be that we don't let our hearts be troubled. That's the result of what he tells us in these verses. That's the result he wants it to have in our heart and in our spirit. That it takes away fear, and it takes away anxiety, and it brings peace and calm to our heart. Are you with me? So what does he say that does this? Well, he says that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm telling you, they're there. And that I'm going there right now. When I leave here on earth after the resurrection, I'm going there to prepare a place for each one of you. Now, does that mean I'm literally getting a mansion? I don't know. Does that mean there are bigger houses and smaller houses? I don't know. Is my friend going to get a bigger house than I get? I don't know. I don't know. Why are you worried about that? Why are you worried about that? I'll take a mansion in heaven. And since I won't have a sin nature, I'm not going to worry and be envious of what my neighbor has. Now, if it was here on earth, of course, with my sin nature, I would want to know, is mine going to be bigger than his or better than his or hers? In heaven, you're not going to have a sin nature. So envy and jealousy, they're not going to be problems there. Okay. I don't know whether they're all going to be the same size or not. But it's going to be wonderful that we're going to have a mansion like that in heaven. I heard this story about this gentleman who had a very bad heart condition. And so he and his wife went to see the doctor. And the doctor said to him, I need to talk to you and your wife together. And so she came in with him, his wife, and the doctor said, you know, your husband has a very bad heart condition, congestive heart failure, and the only way he's going to make it much longer is if he has a radical change in diet. And so she decided she was going to help with this, she was going to solve this problem and take his saturated fat basically to zero, almost. So she did. I mean, she gave him tofu and soybeans and all this nonsense that you can come up with that has no saturated fat in it. Bean sprouts, all this stuff. And you know what? It really did help. He lived 10 more years. And they were both killed in an auto accident at the same time, and they went to heaven together. And when they got to heaven, Peter said, come on, let me show you around. And they walked up to this gorgeous mansion. And this man, Peter said, this is your house. And the man goes, no, Peter. I can't afford a house like this. And Peter said, what's wrong with you? This is heaven. And then he pointed to the driveway. And in the driveway was a bright red Lamborghini convertible sports car. And he said, this is your car. And the man goes, no, Peter. I can't have a car. I can't afford a car like that. And Peter goes, what did I tell you? I told you this was heaven. So Peter said, let me show you the inside of the house. And they walk in, and it's a beautiful home. They walk into the kitchen. The kitchen is beautiful. And they walk over big Sub-Zero refrigerator. The man opens the refrigerator and looks in, and here's all of this wonderful food. They have cheese, and they have hamburgers, and they have ham, and they have eggs, and they have sweets, and cake, and chocolate, and the man, shuts the door, ice cream, real quick, shuts the door, and says, oh no, Peter, no, I can't eat food like that. And Peter says to him, how many times have I got to tell you this is heaven! And the man turns around to his wife, and he says, you see there, if it hadn't have been for you, I could have been here 10 years ago. Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's funny. I amuse myself, I guess. Anyway, I don't know what it's going to look like in heaven, but I promise you, you're not going to be disappointed. Jesus said, if it were different, I would tell you so. And I'm going there to personally make sure your place is prepared for your arrival. And look, then he goes on to say verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where is Jesus going to be for all of eternity? In heaven. That where I am, you may be also. Where are we going to be who believe in him for all of eternity? Where are we going to be? In heaven. That's right. More on that in a moment. And Jesus said, I'm going to come back and receive you to myself. Is he talking about the rapture where he appears in the air and all the dead in Christ rise first, their bodies, their resurrection bodies, and then we who are alive, our bodies are changed instantaneously in the blink of an eye, Paul says, in a moment, 1 Corinthians 15, and we get glorified bodies. Is that what he's talking about? I will receive you to myself? I don't know. Maybe. Because when we look at Luke chapter 16, let's go back there for just a second, the rich man and Lazarus, which I don't believe is a parable, I believe is a real story. But if you look at the rich man and Lazarus, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and it came to pass, Luke 16 verse 22, that the beggar died, that is Lazarus, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now, Abraham's bosom here stands for heaven, was a common rabbinic term for heaven. And so the angels carried him to heaven, not the Lord Jesus himself. So when he says that I will receive you to myself here in John 14, maybe he is talking the rapture. Or maybe he's talking his reception when you first get to heaven, that he'll be the first person you meet and you see the Lord Jesus. I don't know. But however it works, where he is forever, so we shall be also. Awesome. Praise the Lord for that. And that's the promise he makes to us right here in the first three verses of John chapter 14. Now that's as far as we want to go in our passage right now, because we want to ask our most important question, which is what? You ready? One, two, three. So what? Oh yes, oh yes. And how great is this? To have this incredible promise that where I am, so you shall be for all of eternity. And the Lord Jesus is going to be in heaven. That's where we're going to be. Wow. How great is that? Makes me want to say, and here's my friend Jackie with a different suit on, a brown suit. It makes me want to say with Jackie Gleason, come on, say it with me. How sweet it is. Or how sweet it is, as Jackie would say. Yeah. To be there with the Lord in heaven. Now, what do I want you to take home with you today from this passage? Well, this is not the only place in the Bible where the Lord refers to us being with him in heaven for eternity. For example, the 23rd Psalm, which we just quoted a minute ago, the last verse says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life here on earth, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord in heaven forever. There it is. Now, in the New Testament, we of course have the story that we looked at of the rich man and Lazarus, which I personally think was a real event. But even if it's a parable, doesn't matter, where Lazarus is in heaven forever, and the Bible says, let me read it to you, Luke chapter 16, verse 26, and besides all this, Abraham says, between us in heaven, Lazarus and me, and you in hell, the rich man, there is a great chasm, a great gulf that has been fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you, from heaven to you to help you and relieve some of your suffering cannot, nor can those who want to come from where you are pass to us. And so once again we see that the people in heaven are in heaven forever and can't leave even if they wanted to. Here we have, I think, a case where Peter says if they could, the people in heaven who can see you in hell, I think, are so compassionate that they would leave here and come temporarily to try to relieve some of your torment, but they're not allowed. You can't leave heaven, even if you wanted to leave heaven. And then we've got Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, where Paul says to depart this life and be with Christ is exceedingly far better. Not just better, not just far better, but exceedingly far better. And how would he know that? You say, by faith. I know, but how else might he know that? He knows it by experience. How do I know that? 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us about it. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, now I know a man in Christ, he's talking about himself, who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. What's he mean by that? He means he's not sure whether he had a vision or whether he was actually in his body and the Lord took him up. He doesn't know for sure. He was in some kind of a supernatural state. But either way, he was caught up. The Lord took him to the third heaven. You say, what are the first two? I don't know. I don't know. But took him to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, God only knows, he was caught up into paradise with a capital P and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul says, I went up to heaven and I saw and heard things that were so amazing, but I'm not allowed to come back and even tell you about them. What's up there? Why? Folks, if you and I really knew what was in heaven, we'd all go jump off a bridge to get there right now. And so God said, Paul, I'm going to show you these things, but you're not allowed to come back and talk about them and tell people exactly what it is. Things that eye has not seen nor ear heard, the Bible says. So Paul had seen paradise, and he said to depart and be with Christ is exceedingly far better. And how do we know that when we depart, we go to be with Christ? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says that when we are absent from the body, when we leave this body here on earth, we are present with the Lord. Absent from the body, to be absent from the body, is to be present in paradise, in the third heaven, with the Lord. Nothing in between. No purgatory, no soul sleep, no temporary assignment to something. No, no. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, let's reverse all of this and look at it. When we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. When we're present with the Lord, we're in the third heaven or paradise. When we're in the third heaven or paradise, Paul, who has seen it, said things are exceedingly far better there. And when we're there, the Lord says that just where he is, John 14, So we shall be also, and then Luke 16 tells us that not only are we there, but we can't leave even if we wanted to. Who wants to? But even if we, in our compassion for the poor people in hell, wanted to try to go help them, sorry, there's a great chasm, a great gulf that is fixed and set in concrete, and nobody can cross it. So did you follow that? Okay, good. This is what the Bible teaches. Don't you let anybody tell you anything different. And God wants you to know that heaven is your home. And he wants you to know that heaven is where you're going the second you leave this earth. That, as Luke 16 said, the angels are going to come and carry you there. And this is why in 1 John chapter 5, let's look at this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony, this is the record, the Bible says, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Praise the Lord. He who has the Son has life, eternal life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Can you say it any simpler than that? When you trust what Jesus did for us on the cross, you get the Son of God in your life, and then you have eternal life. And people who are not willing to do that don't have eternal life. It's just that simple. Now watch, verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Now is that you? Do you believe in the name of the Son of God? Do you trust what he did on the cross for you to pay for your sins and as your ticket into heaven? I do. Do you? If you do, this is for you. Listen up. Okay. I write these things to you. Watch. That you may, look at the next word, K-N-O-W, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Friends, the Lord wants us to know we have eternal life, to know that where, John 14, where the Lord is, so we shall be also, to know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, to know that it's exceedingly far better to be there, to know that once we're there, we can't ever be thrown out or leave. He wants us to know this and to know that heaven's so wonderful, Paul couldn't even come back, 2 Corinthians 12, and talk about it. He wants us to know this. Like I say to people all the time, the gospel doesn't give us the hope of heaven that's a hope-so hope. It gives us the hope of heaven that is a no-so hope. Not a hope-so, but a no-so hope of heaven. How great is that? People will often say to me or others, I think it's the most arrogant thing I've ever heard of, that you say you know for sure you're going to heaven. So arrogant. Folks, it's not arrogance. God wants us to know this. We know we're not going to heaven because of anything we did. We know we're not going to heaven because of any good works we performed or any goodness we have in ourselves. We know that. There's no arrogance to it. There's humility to it. Yeah, we're going to heaven even though we're awful, terrible people, every one of us on the inside, because Jesus died on the cross for our sins and paid for them, and were covered with his blood, so that we can stand before a holy God without being burned up like a drop of water on a red-hot burner. That's right. Praise the Lord. These things I write to you, 1 John 5, 13, that you may know that you have eternal life. So, as we finish today, what do I want you to take home with you today? Oh, I want you to take home that no-so hope, that no-so hope that you're going to heaven, and if you know Christ, and that nobody can do anything about it. You couldn't even do anything about it if you wanted to, not that you would want to, but that it is sure, and it is secure, and it is indomitably true. Because John 14, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I shall return and receive you to myself, that where I am, you shall be also. Praise God. Man, it don't get no better than that. I was talking, let me just say in closing, I was talking the other day to a woman that I've known for a long time. And she's always been very faithful in her walk with God, her church attendance, her serving the Lord, everything. And I saw her, and we were talking, and as we were walking, as we were getting ready to separate, go our ways, I said to her, I said, well, let me just tell you, I'll see you again, but if I don't see you down here again, I'll see you up there again. And she said, well, I hope so. And bong, went off inside of me. And I, you say, do that again. Bong, yeah. This huge bong went off inside me, and I went, what? Wait a minute. And I said to her, wait a minute, before we go anywhere, come back just a second. What did you just say? And she said, I said, I'll see you up there. And she said, yeah, I hope so. And I said, what do you mean you hope so? She said, I hope so. I said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? You hope so? I said, how many years have you been sitting under my teaching at McLean Bible Church? Did you sit under my teaching? How many times did I teach you this? That there's no hoping about it. That there's a knowing, but no hoping, in the sense that we use the word. How many times? Well, I hope so. I said, oh, no. You and I have to talk for just a minute before we part. And so by the time we were done, I said to her, you know what? Now, if I don't see you down here, I'll see you up there. To which you say, what? Yes, I'll see you up there. Friends, this is the hope of the gospel, the no-so hope of the gospel. And this is what I want you to take home with you, that I will see you up there, every one of you listening to this that knows Christ, because that's the promise of Jesus. If I go, what'd he say? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, so you shall be also. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if we can't say how sweet it is to that, then wow, I don't know what we can say it to. How sweet it is. Oh my gosh, how sweet it is to know that. And this is why your heart doesn't have to be troubled. Remember how we started. Let not your heart be troubled. Because anything you face down here, any problem you have, at some point, it's going to be over. Because you're going to be with the Lord in heaven. And this is what I tell Jill when I ride around with her at night. She loves to ride around around George Mason University, which is right near our house here in Fairfax, Virginia, and she loves to ride around the ball fields and watch everybody running and playing soccer and the other day practicing football under the lights. And I always turn around and say to her in the back of the car, Jill, I just want you to know, sweetheart, that when you get to heaven, you're going to be able to run like that. And when you get to heaven, you're going to be able to play like that. And when you get to heaven, you're going to be able to jump like that and kick like that. And you're not going to have seizures anymore. And you're not going to have to take medicine anymore. You're not going to have to wear orthotics anymore. And you're going to be able to talk and tell Daddy how you feel. Why? I'm trying to let Jill know, don't let your heart be troubled, sweetheart. This is only a temporary location. Praise the Lord. It's only temporary. Lord Jesus, I thank you for reminding us about heaven. And people will say that we're all about pie in the sky by and by. And you know what, Lord? We are. Because that is our hope. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in the next world. In the third heaven, in paradise that Paul saw that we're going to, where the Lord Jesus is for all eternity, and so will we be. And what I tell Jill is right. All of her limitations will be gone there. And Lord, all of the troubles and limitations and heartaches that we have will be gone there. So encourage our hearts with this today, Lord. And, oh God, may we be able to wake every morning, put our hearts on heaven, and say, how sweet it is. How sweet it is. How sweet it is. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. And today we have to have one more. Amen. Okay. God bless you, man. Woo! Praise the Lord. John 14, 15, 16, 17. Man, this is amazing stuff that we've got ahead of us. Amazing spiritual truth. So join me again next week, I hope. Lord willing, live with Lon. God bless you.